says that I change not yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want you to know something, that for us as a church, we're celebrating 10 years, not because we've changed or because we're going to change, but because we're the same and we're going to be who God has called us to be. Amen? We're going to stick to what the Bible says. We're going to stick to what God prays for, because we know that in the house, and when you come into the congregation, the Bible says that when we release sacrifices, they will be answered. Amen? When we release requests, they will be answered. And I tell you what, there are answers in the house of prayer. There's answers in this house tonight. Amen? And so we are excited about what God's doing and what he's going to continue to do. Amen? And you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and do this right now instead of waiting, because usually we don't, but tonight I think we're going to take up an offering for Pastor Dosick and for his ministry. Amen? And I just believe that the Bible says in Matthew 10:41, that when you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Amen? And I tell you what, tonight as we sow, I'm telling you that we are sowing into an opportunity where God is going to do the supernatural. Amen? And I tell you what, I'm excited, because I know that right here tonight, there are miracles that are going to take place. And there are things that are going to change and lives that are going to be touched. And so for me, it's a great honor. You know, he has been our pastor and apostle for all of these years and has sowed into our life. And tonight, we're just going to take up an offering here. And I want you to just sow the seed you brought tonight. I want you to release it. And I tell you what, God is going to touch it. Amen? So let's just take a few minutes to pray over the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this celebration, God, in this time to just honor you and reverence you, Father. Lord, we've all been talking about how we reflect back, and it's been amazing what you've done in 10 years, Father. And Lord, we look so much forward to what you will continue to do here in this house. And tonight, God, the word says that if we will receive a prophet, God, we will receive a prophet's reward. And Father, tonight, as Pastor Dosick comes to minister, God, I believe that it's a supernatural time where as we release our seed, Father, things are going to happen in the supernatural realm, God. And Father, we just thank this time, God, to just honor you in this time of giving and celebration, Father. And we thank you for it. And I declare your blessing upon everyone tonight, Father. Upon those who have to sow, God, and even those who do not tonight, God, but you're going to provide for them seed to sow, Father. And Lord, I just declare 100-fold. I just declare your blessing upon our lives, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I hope that you have come tonight ready to receive from the Lord. Amen. And I tell you, I know at least a couple people that are here believing God for a miracle tonight. And I tell you what, Pastor is going to preach the word and he's going to lay hands on people and we are going to see people healed and set free. Amen. And I tell you what, this is why it's so important to have a place to come. Amen. I want you to know that we can read throughout the Bible, but in Jehoshaphat's seeking of God, you know, it says that he brought the congregation into the house of the Lord. Amen. I want you to know that we have got to have God individually in our lives, But I also want you to know that there are divine moments where God brings us together. That's why he says, don't ever forsake the gathering of yourselves together in his name. Because there is an anointing that comes upon the corporate coming together, being in unity. The Bible says that there's a commanded blessing of God. And tonight, I'm telling you that as pastor comes forward and preaches the word tonight, the supernatural realm of God is open. The heavens are open. Miracles are in this house. Let's be infused by faith with the word he has for us as we celebrate 10 years of God's blessing. Amen?
Hallelujah. Let's do it. Thank you. Praise God. The wonders of a button. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm glad that you're here in this 7-degree weather. Amen. Praise the Lord, is it cold? All righty. 10 years. Doesn't seem that long. Does not seem that long. But I guess it has been. Philip looks like he's 10 years older. But God has been good to Kenton, Ohio. You know, when the building was built by Philip and Regina, that, you know, the dimensions opened differently in this city. And you might not realize, but this is the first church building that was built in 49 years, I think. Might have been 50 years. But I believe there was a new place of authority and a new place of power opened over this region. And so we are here tonight with divine destinies. We are here tonight because God has purposed us to do something. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians 1:15. In John, the 9th chapter and verse 4, as we're turning there, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. There are seasons and there are times that you and I have been given to work. Not all seasons are work seasons. Sometimes there are times of tribulation. Jesus was tempted and the devil left him for a season. Not all seasons are harvest seasons and not all seasons are joyful seasons. But they are seasons that you and I face, and we can be victorious through them. Esther was born for a time such as this. And when Mordecai spoke to her, he says these words. He said, if you do not, then God will raise up someone else. So there are appointed times for people. And it doesn't mean that God will not move on beyond you or your time. It simply means that God prefers you to grasp the time and to put yourself into that time, to invest yourself, to apply yourself, to put your hands to what you find to do. And if we don't, someone else will rise up and do what we have not done. We don't want to do that. We want to be right in the midst of God's time frame. Amen? And in Galatians 1:15, it says this, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Here Paul reveals something very unique to us, that it when it pleased God. You know, there is a pleasure time that God sets us up and puts us in, that he is expectant that we will pick up the call and fulfill the task. And God has many things that are or have been waiting for a certain individual, such as Paul. Paul was called an apostle unto the Gentiles. Now, God's plan was that that would happen, but he waited with great expectancy. John the Baptist came at an appointed time as one calling out of the wilderness. So we realize that God is pleased with the times that he puts you and I in. And you and I are unique for our time. We are unique for our generations. We are unique for our jobs. We are unique for the skills that we have. We are unique for the purposes of God. There is nobody like you on planet Earth. God doesn't make two of anything. He just needs one. Amen? And so, in this, we see that Paul had an appointed time. And you and I have had an appointed time. We've been born. We've been born into a time where the world is in great spiritual transition. And where we are seeing prophetic fulfillments all the time. And sometimes when we are seeing these seasons come to pass, what we do is we get fearful. We wonder, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is God is still going to be God. He's still going to be your father. He's still going to be your provider. He's still going to be your protector. He's still going to be your healer. He's still going to be your deliverer. Come on. He is still going to be what he has always been. The change of government, the change of men, lifting up and pulling down of kingdoms and of nations does not affect who God is to you and I. And so we need to quit being so antsy. Well, I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I do. The sun is going to come up and the sun is going to set. The stars are going to appear. Time is going to move on and God is going to be found faithful. Stop worrying about things that mean nothing. And I mean they mean nothing. Well, you know, we have this type of president. Who cares? It does not matter if Nebuchadnezzar is reigning. What matters is that you take a stand for God. Do not compromise. Don't bend and don't bow. And God will deliver you out of every fire that comes your way. Amen. We worry about nothing. We think that men can stop what God is about to do. Men cannot stop what God is about to do. What God is about to do in the seasons that we are in is a season ordained of God, prepared by God, already marked out by God. So you and I can be at peace because God has already revealed to us what he has done for Israel, he will do for us. What he has done for the patriarchs, he will do for us. What he did for our fathers of faith, he will do for us. What he did for the prophets, he will do for us. It does not matter what goes up or what goes down, God will be consistent and unmovable. Hallelujah. We need to stop shaking because things didn't go our way. And if your hope was in any type of party or individual, your scope was messed up anyway. Messed up anyway. Some people just have their faith put in wrong places. Amen? Hallelujah. So we want to keep our faith in God, but we realize that at an appointed time, God is well aware of the spiritual atmosphere that this nation and this city is in. He is well aware of the transition of seasons moving us to the place where the end time, where Jesus will return for his church. God is well aware of all that. God is aware of our needs. God is aware of our cares. He is aware of our need for protection and deliverance. God is aware of all those things, but God doesn't change. So we, as believers, don't have to fear. And if we are fearing, then what has happened is this: our believing is fading. Amen. If fear is rising up, take it as an indication your faith is under assault. And so quit worrying and watching Fox News, CNN News, Who's News, good news, bad news, and put your eyes up on Jesus, the one that can deliver. Amen. So let's do that. Hallelujah. The second thing that Paul says is, and he called me by his grace. You and I are divinely equipped. Divinely equipped for this season. Now, the reason that I know that is because God says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. He says that tribulation, persecution, things present, things to come, all those things cannot separate you from the love of God. Now, they may have at it. They may set it all in motion. But the bottom line is God has already drawn the line. It will not happen. It will not happen from God. It cannot happen from your enemy. And the only questionable one in the equation is your decision not to side with the devil. Amen. So we are divinely equipped. No matter what's going on, no matter what comes our way, we are divinely equipped. Amen. You ever wonder why God had a whale swallow Jonah? He might not have been able to swim. And God knew he was never going to make it to Nineveh. So he needed to hitch a ride. Now you would say, oh, no, no, that was just, well, it doesn't tell you why he got in the whale's belly. So my theory might be more right than your theory. But I'm just telling you that God makes a way and equips us and provides for us in means and in seasons that he has placed us in that you and I cannot fail. Jesus asked the disciples, he said, when you went without money, without script, without coat, without sword, did you have lack? They said, of nothing. And he said, then go again. No matter where God sends you, no matter what purpose that God has laid out for you, you do not have to be concerned any more than the sparrows of the air, the lilies of the valley, or the grass of the earth of what is going to happen to you. Amen? God is going to feed you. Have you ever seen a support group for sparrows? No. They do not worry. They stop, they snack, they move on. And such faith is that no matter where they are, God will provide. And yet we shake and tremble at every turn that we face in life. Every time something changes, we're like uprooted and unstable. Don't be that way, because you have been equipped by God. And that equipment is this. He not only equips you with supernatural divine gifts, which he does, and they are gifts that will enable you to function, to win souls, to cast out devils, to rescue people, to bring healing and deliverance to people's lives. But it's more than that. God has also created you and equipped you with the divine ability to prosper. What you put your hands to, God will prosper. God hath already blessed you with all blessings in heavenly places. The blessings of God tendeth to prosperity. You know, there are so many things that God has done for us in that when he provides for us, when he brings healing and brings deliverance and protection to us, that you and I just need to resign to that God will keep us, because Paul said, I know that he is faithful who hath begun a good work, who will perform it until the coming of the day of the Lord. So if you stay awake worrying about it, you are just wasting your time. Go to sleep. Well, you know, sometimes I can't sleep because I worry. Well, get some NyQuil. Get something. Don't waste your time. Because God is watching over you, and his eyes are up on the righteous. Praise God. And he's not sleeping, so there's no sense in both of us being awake. All right. The other thing is that when God gives you these divine gifts, these divine equipments, these gifts are really constructed for today's world. They are constructed for today's generations. You know, I hear all the time, well, you know, we're faced with this generation. We're faced with that generation. Well, it doesn't matter what you're faced with. The Word of God will still save the lost, heal the sick, will still give direction, wisdom, counsel, and make a way where there is no way. You do not have to water down. You don't have to pervert. You don't have to do anything but preach the gospel. Amen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and we need not be ashamed of it. Amen. And the supernatural gifts that God has given you, you need to use. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the second thing is he has given us divine purpose. God has given every man a purpose. Some people are drawn to the Gentiles like Paul was. Some people are drawn to street people. Some people are drawn to a homeless. Some people are drawn to the depressed. Some people are drawn to the nations, Africans, to Asia, so forth. It doesn't matter where you're called, but you and I have a divine purpose. Now you might say, but what is that purpose? It's real simple. All you have to do is read the Bible, find something to do, and that's you. It doesn't take 40 days to fast. Here, let me give you all purpose. Go ye into all the world. Now, I expect everybody to be awake tomorrow and do that. But we always want God to give us some great big glamorous appearance to tell us what he's already commissioned us to do. You and I have a purpose. The fourth thing that Paul said was this: I didn't rely on flesh and blood. In other words, we are going to have confidence in the Spirit of God walking with us and being with us. Walking and being. Remember that Philip led the man out of Ephesus to Jesus Christ. Did he give him some great revelation? All the man did was, tell me, is this him or is it somebody else? And he began to tell him about Jesus. And that man, even though he was an educated, intellectual man of great authority and great stature and great honor in the nation of Ephesus, he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed. And we sometimes forget that God is with us like that. And that it only takes one word from God out of your lips to bring victory to somebody's life. Now, I said all of that to simply say this, that there is a time for every believer. Now, I know that we are in this great time period of do nothing. But I'm just telling you that God has not called us to do nothing. And I understand that the virus is real. I understand that. But there are lots of things that are real. And we don't let them paralyze us. We are so afraid of getting something that could kill us, we are as well as dead men already. If we are not working for the Lord, there is no sense in life to go on. I met a man that knew Charles Capps, was very close to Charles. And anybody know Charles Capps? Some of you young ones. All right, yeah, okay. Charles Capps told his wife, well, he told his friend, he said, I'm going to go to heaven. He said, Charles, you've got so much to share. He said, let me tell you something about sharing. Nobody wants to hear my voice. My radio program has went down. Nobody calls me anymore. People are not interested in hearing what I have to say. So he told his friend, I'm going to go to heaven. He said, Charles, don't do that. So he said, well, I'm going to. He said, and, you know, I spoke to the Father, and he said, it's fine. I've accomplished my course. So he told his wife, said, now, Peggy, I'm going to go to heaven on Sunday morning. She said, Charles, quit saying that. He said, I'm telling you, Peggy, I'm going to heaven Sunday morning. She went in to wake him up for breakfast, and if she'd have checked before, she wouldn't have had to cook it because Charles was already dead. He had already left and went home to be with the Lord. When you don't have a purpose, when you reject the purpose, when you don't use the gifts and the talents that you have, we are not living. We are just walking dead men. Yep, you missed a good place to shout. So there is a time for every believer, and therefore there is a time for every church to pick up their divine purpose. Now, I know that this COVID virus has imprisoned everybody. I mean, people are just afraid. I don't know what of, but, well, I don't want to die. Well, I don't want to die either, but I'm not afraid of dying. And there's a grave difference of being afraid of dying and not wanting to die. I don't want to die because I believe this is going to be my best year of fishing and my best year of golfing. But I'm not afraid of dying. And there is a great difference. We are need to be prepared to die. Now, every church has a divine purpose. This church's purpose is pronounced Kenton, Ohio. This church is in this city to be a light to this region. This church is set here to be an example of the extra mile. This church is here to win souls. This church is here to demonstrate the supernatural. This church is here that believers will preach the gospel and God will add to the church daily. So this church needs to activate their divine equipment in order to fulfill divine purpose. We need to trust in the Holy Ghost to lead us. Sometimes we think we can only do great things. No, you do what you can find to put your hands to. And if you will do it with all of your heart, God will prosper it. Don't ever get engaged or involved in something that you're going to try. Get involved and engage something that you are committed to. Amen? I had a lady tell me one time, said, well, you know, Pastor, if it doesn't work out, I can get a divorce. I said, have you ever read the Bible? Well, yeah, but you know, I still believe God forgives. Well, I understand, but he doesn't forgive stupid people. He doesn't just forgive you if you stand on the edge of the rooftop and jump off. Amen. If you're going to go into a marriage with the option that you might get a divorce, I would encourage you to find somebody else. At least fall in love enough that when you stand and take your wedding vows, you mean half of them. You'll be ahead of most people. Most people don't mean half of them. You know, for good or evil. Yeah, they don't do it. Sickness and health. Yeah, rich or poor. Absolutely not. You know, none of those things are true. And people just don't live by them because they are not wholeheartedly. When Phyllis and I got saved, the first time she said, well, I'll tell you what, I can't wait till I get a divorce. I just set her down and said, let me tell you what's never going to come out of your mouth again. You are never going to mention the word of divorce in this house. Not going to happen. Now, you can mention killing me. You can mention, you know, doing whatever. But you're not going to ever divorce or mention that name again. I just don't allow it. I'm not going to allow it. I don't want my kids to hear it. I don't want my grandchildren to hear it. I don't want my neighbors to hear it. It is not an option. It is until death do we part, and then when we get to heaven, we start anew. Amen. We are married eternally. But we have got to make decisions. When you get engaged in something, get engaged wholeheartedly. Because if you don't, you'll always leave a path back to where you come from. Have you ever seen Tweety Bird and that black cat? You ever see Tweety Bird when he gets out there and he just trusts he's going to be okay? He saws the limb off. The limb still stays in the air and the tree falls down. If you don't cut the limb off, you are going back to the tree. You are not going to go out in a place where God lifts you up and keeps you. It is just nature for us to leave a way of escape because we, even as believers, having all the promises of God, being appointed of God, having the equipment of God, walking in our purpose, and depending on the Holy Ghost, we still don't trust that God is faithful. You know, like this building. This building was built for a good purpose, but it was also built with the worst outcomes in mind. See these exit doors? All of them are exit doors. Why? Because they know that a fire could happen. Well, we don't want to leave the tree up. We want to commit ourselves to what God has called us to do. Folks, did you ever hear the song, Is That All There Is? Did you ever hear that old hippie song? Used to be the guy was just delusional about life, and he sees a fire and he says, Is that all there is? Then he sees something else and says, Is that all there is? You know, and then at the end of the song, and he's still... I think it ends like this. But I still wonder, who stopped the rain? In other words, I see all these things going on, and they're just simply nothing after it's over. And I really want to know who is behind of what's taking place in people's lives. He really wanted to see God. Well, we sometimes forget that church is not the end result of our salvation. Our churches are places where we are to get fed. We are to share in vision. We are to discover things about God, to walk with Him by faith. But it is not a settling place of assurance. Just because you're here and you're a member and you got the same seat and it's almost wore out, that is not the assurance that you're going to make it. Oh, but the blood of Jesus, I understand the blood of Jesus. But you and I have a task. You and I have a gift. We have a purpose. And we need to walk by faith in the Holy Ghost. Now, in every city, there is a time to sow and there is a time to reap. And this city is white for the harvest. Jesus' heart was burdened when he said, but the laborers are few. Didn't mean that he had few followers. I mean, Jesus had crowds. He fed 5,000 men besides women and children. That's a pretty good crowd. You know, so we sometimes, we think, well, hey, we got a church, hallelujah, we got numbers and all. That's not even what Christianity is about. And this church is in this city, and I'm saying to this church, it's time for the harvest. It's time to put in the sickle. It's time to be about the Father's business. What about COVID? What about this? I don't know. What about the devil? What about life? What about death? What about blessing? What about cursing? What about hunger? What about fullness? What about abundance? What about lack? What about, what about, what about? We are not Australians. See, we think that because the COVID came up, that our purpose for this city has ended. Nope. The Bible says, here's how small it started, that those people went from house to house with bread, and they broke bread. They fellowshiped, and they testified. They used their talents and their gifts. I'm sure that in these house meetings that they themselves activated because they had gifts and callings. And because there were persecutions in the